Welcome to Voices of the Body, a podcast where we explore the intricate connection between mind, body, and spirit as we dive into the world of healing, advocacy, alchemy, and purpose. Our bodies are vessels of wisdom, carrying stories of our experiences, our joys, and our sorrows. Together, we'll uncover the power within ourselves and our communities to heal, to advocate, to transform, and to live with and on purpose. Join us on this journey of self-discovery and empowerment. Let's unlock the voices of our bodies. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Voices of the Body, the podcast. I'm so happy to be back. It is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I think where I ended season three, it was Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and here we are. This episode, I am sharing my story as a protective mother. Yes. As much as I had to come to grips in reality of what was really going on, here we are, folks. Here we are. So prepare your mind, body, and soul as we get into this episode. It is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and I am back. So just, I think for my own thing that I'm working through, this is something that I will do every year. If you've been listening to Voices of the Body for a while now, this is season four, and I've made it known that every October will be Domestic Violence Awareness Month. The past 2 years, I have also dedicated that month to miscarriage and pregnancy loss awareness. Interestingly enough, the last time I did an episode was last year while I was in Cambodia. And I remember like saying to myself, well, I know a lot of women who are dealing with domestic violence, right? And in my mind and experience, it was just like the physical abuse. It was the sexual abuse. And I remember like saying to myself, well, what else would I talk to people about when it came to abuse and domestic violence? And I just kind of like sold myself on, well, I can just interview like other women. I can, you know, just keep making noise around it through the voices and the stories of other women who are ready to share their story, healing from physical and sexual abuse, right? Until I came back to the States. I've been back since November 2023, which is funny because a lot of people are like, where are you? And I'm like, I'm in the United States of America. I am home. So it's the beginning of this year, something was happening. And I couldn't understand why it was happening. I could only understand, or what was happening, I could only understand that it was painful. I thought I was crazy. I thought it was okay. I thought, like, I don't really know what I thought. I just remember having limitations to my son. And after a while, like conversation with family and things started to happen more, stuff with him in school. I just was kind of like, is this what, like, what is happening? And I was talking with another friend who, we met at a yoga studio in 2020, and we've only really communicated via social media, and then we finally had met in person, or met up in person, and it was like, am I experiencing alienation? And I was just like, this is what is happening. And so if you know me, you know me, the research bunny. I started just like researching what was happening and what I was feeling. And there are a slew of mothers. Like when I say slew, it's more than I feel like it should be, of mothers who experience what is called child and mother sabotage. So for the I know the this episode is called I Am a Protective Mother, and if you know me, you know that I am. I'm trying to be mindful of how I tell this story, because of course court, and I don't want to say it's fear. It's not fear. I think it's more so I don't trust anybody. I don't trust other entities to use my own words against me. So, with the lens of me sharing my experience thus far and what the education I've come to realize of what is happening that has been documented, has been written in articles, that has been known as part of what domestic violence also is. I'm going to share more education and healing for what this experience has been. And I'm going to tell you now, coming to a place where I'm like, okay, I have a platform that I can make this known about. I wanted to, it's helping me. It's definitely helping me, and I believe that that is part of the power that is trying to be stripped from me, is me articulating my pain, articulating the truth, articulating what is happening, articulating and exposing the plan of the enemy. It's just doing this is helping me. Putting it out on social media has been helping me because there's been other people and women that I know, women that I've like went to school with, that I didn't know course, were going through the same thing, have reached out, and we've had conversations about it. So there's this, like, this has been a very lonely year, even with support, right? It's because the support wants to make sure that you're okay, that your mental and emotional self are able to push through and keep going, that your relationship with your child is saved and protected, that your child is, not put in harm's way any more than they need to be. And that you don't fall victim to what the actual strategy is, which is to take away your power, which is to sever the relationship, which is to not have connection, which is to gaslight yourself into believing that this isn't true, which is to I like to say, like John 10:10, where it says the first part of that, where it says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Where the weapons don't prosper, right? And it's hard because there's days where I just don't want to get out of bed. There are days where I just don't want to get out of bed, and I have to force myself out of bed. There are days where the minute I wake up, tears are coming out my eyes because it's like, I'd rather be asleep. I'd rather be asleep. I'd rather be asleep. I'd rather be asleep because then I know that there is potential to me not having to experience what is being experienced, not having to question myself what is being experienced, and not having to do this thing where I'm blaming myself, right? I do believe there is a level of, okay, let me backtrack. How did I get here, right? What did I not pay attention to? What are the patterns of behavior that has been happening that, excuse me, that I didn't see or that I ignored or that I just didn't pay attention to? And the last few months have felt like just deep spiritual warfare and the true exposure of who people have really been and me not believing them, right? There was something there where I was like, I need to take hold of that. But then, if you know me, I am a love child. I am a person that loves everybody until I don't want to talk to you, right? I'm not a negative person, I think. I think I'm a fun person, joyful person, right? I always try to see the good in everybody. And now it's gotten to the point where I can't just see your good because the other side of that is being more loud than the good I once thought of you, like to be in that light that I once thought of you to be in. So to give more of what the experience is, I'm going to share what is called child and mother sabotage. You may have heard of the term parental alienation, and this is a term that when I realized alienation was happening, a friend of mine was like, no, we don't use that term, and she educated me on like where that term came from, how it came about, which I will talk about in another, well, no, here we are. We're already here, so might as well just do it. So parental alienation was created by fathers who wanted to hide the fact that they were abusing their children. And when the mother would keep the child away from the abusive father, they were now saying that they were being alienated, that they were experiencing parental alienated. So let's just pause here, right? There's the gaslighting, right? There's the manipulation, right? Outside of abusive situations, people forget what they did for somebody to protect themselves and their children from someone else, from them, from that person, right? It's a tactic. It is a tactic that is used to manipulate and gaslight the children and the mother, right? The mother is being protective in protecting her and her child from said father. What child and mother sabotage is it replaces parental alienation, where women and children are being abused through the separation of their relationship, through the actual sabotage of their relationship. It's not always physical abuse. It's not always sexual abuse. It is the mind games. It is the gaslighting. It is the coercion, right? It's the slander. It's, I'm going to tell the child something bad about the mother. So now the child is looking at the mother crazy, and the mother can't defend herself because she doesn't know that the child is being told these things. And now I'm going to keep telling the child things about the mother, and it's going to now make the child not want to be with the mother. So now the mother will never know that the child has been told certain things and wants to stay away from the mother because of coercion, right? So it's intentional. Oh boy, the plans of the enemy are being exposed. The plans of the enemy are being exposed. The plans of the enemy are being exposed. This is what happens, right? So it turns into not only the child, but now that person, said person that's been telling the child all these things about mother, gets hold of a storyline, gets to create whatever storyline they want about said mother, and not only tell it to the child, but tell it to whoever will listen. This could be their family. This could be that mother's family. This could be mutual friends. This could be community leaders. This could be people that work with the mother, people who know the mother, people who, it could be any and everybody. It's very intentional. There are mothers who have lost jobs because of this. There are mothers that have lost friends because of this. There are mothers who have actually had their relationship with their child severed. I remember before I went to Cambodia, and let me just say, and I could be saying this just for myself, that was an opportunity for me to expand
on my career, and it was used against me. That even my ex and that abusive relationship where I made the decision to send my child to his other parent, that experience was used against me. And I did that because I wanted to protect my son. If I didn't agree, only God knows where all of this would be right now. But there are mothers who have, like, the emotional abuse, because the emotional abuse is what is pertinent. Because for me, what has happened is I'm confused about one conversation that was had where, you know, we're in agreement, and then another set of experiences that has happened to where now it's like, wait, what? Like, the mother-child bond is, I mean, you carry the child for 9 months. Some push it to 10. You've become a portal for this child to grow, to learn the world through sound, right? Before they can even see what your nervous system is giving, right? And to have that bond try to be intentionally severed is probably the most vindictive, egotistical, evil thing I've ever witnessed and experienced and seen other moms go through. I'd be lying if I said there wasn't fear. And I trust God. I trust God to still do what he said he was going to do. That other part of John 10:10. But I've come that you may have life and that you have it more abundantly. So it's that first part of John 10:10, right, where I know that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? It's the weapons may form, right? It's not allowing them to prosper. And I'm not going to lie to you, it's been hard. Right, it's been hard to decipher, am I allowing the weapon to prosper if I rest because I can't take much more, or am I honoring the needs of my body and giving myself rest, right? Am I allowing the weapons to prosper if I just stop fighting, or am I honoring peace and giving myself space to try and shift focus? Am I allowing the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy all that I've worked for if I keep fighting, right? Or am I, like, honoring the fight that needs to be fought, right? It's a dance. It's a spiritual dance of warfare. So when we talk about coercive control, It puts you in a position as a mother to disrespect yourself for the protection of your child. And that is a hard dance. Nobody that cares about, even if you don't care about me, nobody that cares about a child would put barriers around the mother. Nobody that cares about a child would give the mother a ultimatum when it comes to the child, right? That's not co-parenting. That is very high conflict. That is abusive. That is intentional. I'm gonna put an article in the two articles that I've read that really speak to coercive control and how child and mother sabotage is a form of coercive control. But I wanted to share this because when we think about abuse and domestic violence, we're only thinking about physical abuse. We're thinking about the actual striking, leaving marks, the hitting, the pushing, the kicking, that part, which is the last part of abuse to take place. Right. Coercion happens to build, air quotes, credibility. Intimidation happens to take control of the reaction and take control of, okay, well, I have to do what I'm being told to do, or I might get hit, or I might do something. And I've personally experienced what that feels like in my body. So I can only imagine what that feels like for a child. But it's beyond the sexual abuse. We forget about the parts that lead up to what happens when the hit, before the hit happens, before the kick happens, before the strike happens, before the punch happens, before the sexual assault happens. It's the lead, it's the grooming. Right? It's the grooming of, I'm gonna get this person to trust me, to love me, to, this is disgusting, to believe me, to understand me, right? Which it sounds crazy because that's what we want in relationship. That's what we want in relationship. But then it's like when it happens to a child, they don't have, I mean, I believe that most kids are very discerning, but they're also still developing. So they're being taken advantage of mentally and emotionally and spiritually. We forget about those three parts when we're talking about abuse and coercion. And I've been talking about this on social media with or without personal experience. But coercion is the number one form of abuse that happens before the physical before the sexual. I don't know why it's so hard to prove. I have thoughts and ideas around that. But in this context with child and mother sabotage, there's enough professionals involved to where I don't know why it can't be seen. Like this isn't just like, I'm not talking about me now, I'm talking about just thinking about other conversations I've had with moms that are experiencing this as well, where there are enough professionals involved to be able to see this. There's work to be done. There's so much work to be done in the legal system, in the justice system, in the behavioral health system, in the mental health system, in the education system, where there needs to be a better merging of how these systems are healed, first of all, because we have to remember a lot of these systems were built off of what Caucasian men wanted. Like, if we think about what's going on now politically with the whole Roe v. Wade and abortion rights, it's no different women being controlled and told what to do with their body. So we have them being told that they can't bring a child into this world, like they're forced to bring a child into this world, and then now we're seeing child and mother sabotage, where they're being forced away from their child. I don't understand. Somebody make it make sense. Somebody make it make sense. Emotional abuse is hard because you don't want to be the person that moves through their day based off of their emotions, right? You see all these posts and conversations about don't let your emotions dictate how you move. But man, I gotta tell you, it's such a play on, like, it's an intentional tug on my heart and my emotions and my feelings. And there's name calling involved. And like, the funny thing is, a lot of what is textbook, it's very blatant. Like, certain things are very blatant. But me, well, no, I take that back. People see them. People see it. Just the people I need to see it are turning their cheek. But it's the beat down, but then you don't want to fall victim to victimhood, right? The amount of strength it takes to still get up every day and not know if you're going to talk to your child, not know what drama is going to hit your doorstep, not know what false accusation is going to happen. Like, it's very anxiety driven. It's low. It hurts. One day, my baby boy will tell his story. While he was with me over the summer, I started teaching him the power in using your voice and speaking up for yourself, even when it's hard, even when it hurts. And I see what I've once felt in my body, and there's residue of it now. But it's a little different because I'm mama bear. So the protection has to be at a different level for him. And I believe it's more spiritually and emotionally. Since I can't be there physically to protect him. I'm exhausted from it all. No mother should have to endure this at all. And I don't want to hear what about men. I'm not there yet. I'm sorry. I don't have it in me to even say what about men, even with raising a boy, or having a boy. I've been very intentional about his emotional health. I've been very intentional about his mental health. I've been very intentional about his spiritual health. So it's not a surprise that those are the three areas of attack. The enemy's plans will be exposed. The enemy's plans will be exposed. And things will change. I keep hoping that, like, there's some, like, ending to this cycle, because I don't want it. I don't want it. The healing of this is therapy, right? Therapy, my meditations, and I've added back in breath work, a little bit more intentional on the breath work, and it helps. All three help. I'm in a space right now where I talk to my therapist about, like, how does this change? Like, how does a cycle of abuse end? And I know last year I did an episode on that, and it's, of course, manifested. But it's still like, this is a different level of that. And I want it to end. I don't know if anybody has seen the movie It Ends With Us. It wasn't horrible. It wasn't amazing, something I'd go see again, but I definitely understood what the goal was, and it was to show how to end the cycle of abuse when children are involved. I don't think it played realistically to what happens in abuse, especially when a child is now involved. And I see what they were doing with that. So, give or take. So, but I bring that up to say that is, like, my focus now is, like, how do we end this? How do we end this? How do we end this? How do I end this? Right? I don't want to focus on, like, what keeps happening. I don't want to focus on what might happen. I want to focus on how do we end this? How do I end this? How do I sever this spiritually? How do I sever this mentally? How do I sever this emotionally? How do I protect my son moving forward in his life from experiencing this longer than he needs to, and not becoming what is happening, not repeating the pattern, right? The goal is, how do we stop the pattern? How do we stop the pattern? That is the goal. How do we stop the pattern? We expose what's happening spiritually. We look at it. We maneuver around it. Because one thing, if I've learned anything, is that in the spiritual realm, the negative entities, the enemy, never has a new strategy. Like, the strategy is always the same. Right? The strategy is always the same. The plan and the goal is always the same. Steal, kill, destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. Right? So, if I know that that is the strategy spiritually, I believe, I might go on a rant here. I believe that abuse is a spiritual and mental and emotional thing, right? It's been long standing. I mean, you think about Mary Magdalene and the way they talked about her and the things they called her. I don't know why this is landing here for me. But when we talk about abuse, when I hear these stories of these women that I've been in community with, and I'm reading what they're writing, and I'm just like, this is an attack spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. And when I think about that for my own self, it is the same thing. So when we are exposing the plan of the enemy, right? The plan is to steal, kill, and destroy, right? All of those areas, those three areas. It's the how. We can combat with the how. It hurts. It's going to take a lot. It's going to be a strength that we can't have on our own, right? It's going to take some practices that we may not have thought would be for us. It's going to take some reinvention. It's going to take some things, right? So we think about when I know the enemy's how and his tactics, I have to then look at what is my how. How am I going to deflect that? How am I going to protect that? It's harder because there's children involved. It is harder because there are children involved. If this is your experience, I'm sending you love. I'm sending you prayers. I'm sending you healing. I'm sending you power. I'm sending you strength. I'm sending your kids love. I'm sending your kids power. I'm sending your kids strength. I am praying that fear be released and that you continue to advocate for you and your child or children. And I'm praying for the dismantling of the parts of the systems that are unsure or are unaware of what takes place, as above, so below. Everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. So I think once we, I don't know, I'm not even going to say once we realize that, right? This is a very hard place to be in. Very hard place to be in. And it's challenging to ask for help and support because no one understands unless they understand. Y'all keep praying. Y'all keep encouraging. I don't know. Keep donating. Took me a lot of courage to even put that out because I'm like, I'm not asking for help. I gotta figure this out on my own. And then it's like, I can't bear this weight on my own. I'm trying hard. It's hard. I love you all for free. Until next time.